Good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch here on this Monday, the 27th day of October. Matter of fact, the last Monday of October. And Brother David Tucker and, of course, Brother Joe Barner in with us this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Your cranky co-worker.
Your cranky co-worker. Yeah, it's cranky co-worker day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Did you know? You didn't know that.
No. Do I get to be the cranky coworker? Or do I have to identify the cranky coworker?
If you can't identify which one it is,
it's probably you.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I have been spotted.
You've been spotted. Yeah.
Cranky coworker day.
I don't know.
Are you saying the government shut down and yet they took the time to raise up a citation or whatever?
Maybe. I don't know.
Who gets to identify?
Somebody
that?
Has too much time on their hands.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly.
That's what it is.
Who sets these days, by the way?
Who knows?
There's a website called the National Day Calendar.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So when we say national, it's somebody has made it a national day.
It's big.
It would have to be a government official, would it not? It warms my soul to think that these men are handling such important issues as cranky coworker day.
The cranky's coming out in him, Brian.
Yeah, that's what it is. getting cranky this morning.
We got him started now.
You know what gets me riled up? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
That's so funny. Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where to go from here.
You're lost now, right?
Well, we were going to talk about several different things, but I have no idea where to go. So we're going to talk about picking the right church and being in the right church.
Okay.
It's kind of something we've been doing over the last, 2 weeks, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. And not being a cranky church member.
Oh, nice segue, Joe. See, that's why you're the professional. I like that. But we're going to actually talk about the concept of regeneration that comes through being a part of the family of God. And so we're going to dive into that.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in James 5:16, "Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." The characteristic of the prayer of Elijah was his fervency. He prayed fervently. He used that particular Hebrew idiom, praying he prayed. In other words, when he prayed, he got down to business. Remember that the prayer of a righteous man is of great force when energized, not merely when energized by the Holy Spirit, as every effectual prayer must be. It's force coming from the energy that the man or woman themselves throws into it. So goes the saying, no prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
Just a real positive influence to keep our mindset where it should be and focused on God and loving others.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Exalting King Jesus with music and more. Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the Front Porch here on this Monday morning on Missionary Radio, your Christian community station.
Well, we have been talking about how to find the right church. And the last couple of Mondays, we've been walking through biblically what's the call of the church. So first, the call of the church is to be the revelation of God. In other words, when he says you're the hands and the feet of Jesus, Jesus was a revelation of God, his word in flesh. And so as the hands and feet of Jesus, we are to continue that revelation. We are to be a walking, talking revelation of God for the world to see. If your church is not outside the walls, in other words, all you do is you meet on Sundays and then everybody disperses, but there's nothing that the church is known for or connected to by the community, then there's a real question there of what kind of revelation are you? One of the things that I did a long time ago, way back when, because we're getting ready on a building campaign now, way back when we were doing a long-range planning on deciding on whether or not we need to even be where we were, mm-hmm. I walked through the neighborhood and asked the question of the people in the neighborhood, you know, what do you know about that church down there? And you'd be amazed at the answers you got, you know. But people knew why the church was there and what the church was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not everybody agreed with the church. Mm-hmm. But at least they understood what the church stood for.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a revelation of God. The second thing that we've talked about is that the church is there for the salvation of mankind. As the revelation of God, we are to lead mankind to a relationship with Christ. And so a church that doesn't baptize, a church that doesn't see people get saved, is not a church that's going to last. Mm-hmm. That church is dying. And I don't care if you're 1,000 members. If you're not seeing people get saved, then you're not seeing life.
Right.
Your church is dying.
Right.
And you need to address that. This week we had revival at our church, and we had several folks who were saved. One individual who was saved literally lives in Georgia. We're going to follow up with them and encourage them. And like I told the church yesterday, Joe, you know, we're not going to see them in our pews.
Yep.
That's not okay. That's not fine. That's okay. That's not fine. That's not okay. Yes, it is. It's totally fine. It's totally okay because the kingdom has grown.
Yes.
And we had guys who were a part of a rehabilitation group that come and they join us for worship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, several of them heard the testimony of the evangelist, and they responded to the call of God, and they received Christ as their Savior. They all went to a whole nother church this Sunday to go and, you know, probably make their profession of faith, and they'll probably be baptized at that church. Again, our church doesn't see them in the pew. So is the church dying? No, the church mm-hmm. isn't dying.
No,
because there's life in that church.
Yes.
And so if you're seeing salvations, if you're seeing baptisms, that's a sign that your church has life, and you want that in a church. So biblically, you need to be the revelation of God. You need to be the offering the salvation of God. And then for all those who are already saved and you're looking for a church, what you're looking for is one that will help in the regeneration of your spirit. Now, what I mean by that is when we get saved, the Holy Spirit begins to empower us to live a life that's different. Up to that point, you don't. Ephesians chapter 2, we're dead in our transgressions and sins in which we used to live. In other words, I didn't have the power to really go the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm saved, seen the revelation of God, accepted the gospel, I now have the power to go a new direction in my life. And so over—
well, Paul says that we are made alive.
That's right.
Or I think the King James was, the word was quickened.
That's right. Exactly.
We are made alive, and so we have that life within us to share that life with others.
That's right. And what we call that is regeneration. It's the concept of within me, this Holy Spirit begins to empower a process. So, Joe, if you would, we're going to listen to old Apostle Paul. And over there in Romans chapter 12, if you would read maybe the first two or three verses.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
That's super. So when Paul is writing here in Romans, what he says is that as a believer, so revelation, salvation, now you have a believer. That believer needs to be going through a process. And the process is allowing that new creation to come out and the old creation to die. You'll do that for the rest of your life, but you now have that power and that capability because the Holy Spirit resides in you. He says, I want you to be transformed. That's the term that he used. The idea is that my life is going to begin to take a different shape and form and function. Now, this is where, as Baptists, I think that we don't tap into all that God offers, okay? So I have a wonderful Pentecostal friend, Brother Jeremy Leak. He's over there at Northside Church of God. Now, Brother Jeremy is Pentecostal, and he and I sat down one night, literally at a Bible study with a bunch of Baptists, and he explained their view of how the Holy Spirit engages with their church, and I explained our view of how the Holy Spirit engages with our church. And no, we're not identical in our process, but we are very much on the same page as to what the power of the Spirit is attempting to do, which is to transform that life. And the reason I say that we as Baptists, Joe, I think kind of miss the boat somewhat is because our Pentecostal brothers really allow the Spirit to go. Now, Brian's over there smiling because he be one of them Pentecostal brothers.
One of them Pentecostal brothers.
I'm surprised he's not amening you by now.
Well, in my mind, I'm amen, brother. Come on, preach
come
it.
Come on. So the concept is the transformation has to be Spirit-empowered, not simply mind-empowered. We are a highly intellectual denomination. That's Baptists. The more you know, you know, like the little star that goes across in the commercials,
yes. Oh, yes.
The more you know. Well, that's our idea is if you study the Scripture more and more and more, then that's going to change who you are. Mm-hmm. Yes, the Scripture works that direction, but there has to be a Spirit element in that. So, Brian, why don't you share, how do you see that engaging within your church as you engage the regenerational or the transformational process?
As far as seeing people come to the Lord, is that what you mean?
Yeah, once they're saved, how does the Spirit begin to empower that transformation in their life?
Well, I mean, you know, in the Pentecostal church, I mean, it's very, say, how can I put this? We mentioned, you know, the Holy Spirit quite a bit, you know, that the evidence, you know, of after you give your life to Jesus is to speak in another language, speak
right.
in tongues,
sure.
you know, and stuff. But I guess I'm a little bit different on that conversation. And some of the Pentecostal brothers probably will say, oh, I'm going to cringe on this, but listen, I'm a firm believer in this. I believe in speaking in the tongues. I do. I'm totally for it. But it has to be in order, mm-hmm. just like the Bible says.
Sure.
It has to be in order. It cannot be taught. It cannot, you know, mm-hmm. it's a very serious thing. And I notice a lot of people, too, like to make fun and make light of people that do,
right.
you know, speak in tongues. It's a gift. You
absolutely,
know,
it's
so
a gift.
It's a gift, and not it, to me. Not everybody is going to speak in that gift.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do that. So I've never had an opportunity to speak in tongues.
Okay,
but I do believe in it.
Sure.
Okay. So I mean, just a little difference. But I've also been a part of a Baptist church as well through my life. I have been part of Baptist churches.
Sure.
And I go to a lot of Baptist churches and sing,
sure.
so I respect everybody.
Absolutely.
You know, because, you know, so many people will put, well, I'm Pentecostal, I won't go to a Baptist church.
Right.
Or I'm Baptist, I won't go to a Pentecostal church. I just think we ought to be able to get together and worship in one accord.
I agree. But I would say, and I think that you just made an excellent point as far as the regenerational process.
Yeah.
Different people have different, I'm going to say, personality types.
Sure.
I'm going to say spiritual DNA.
Sure, absolutely.
So there are some people who need to have a church that is really emphasizing
yes.
that spiritual development
yes.
and process.
Yes. Yes.
There are others who are not going to be as comfortable in that realm,
yes.
and they're going to need some that are going to have the same concept of spirit,
mm-hmm.
but with a quieter and gentler approach.
Absolutely.
Okay? So
absolutely.
It's the same spirit, but it's different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got some folks in my church that, I got one young man. I mean, he comes out of a heavy metal background, and I mean, he is 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
My my old music minister used to say, people are all teeth and eyeballs. That's what he is. When you see him coming, he's just all teeth and eyeballs. He's excited. And so would he do well in a Pentecostal process? Well, yeah, he would, because he's highly emotive and passionate.
Sure.
And his DNA and his culture and everything else around him is built in that direction, mm-hmm. and it kind of helps with that.
Mm-hmm.
But he also fits in fine with our church.
Sure.
He does well with our church. So the process is, you need to know where your DNA is, mm-hmm. as a believer, mm-hmm. so that you can allow the Spirit to have its full freedom in your life. So that's what we want to dig into next. But first, we need to listen to some folks who are in the Spirit as they share the joy of Christ through Pen from the Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Cedar Hill, "We listen always, even when traveling, with the app and a Bluetooth speaker. God bless you." From a Clarksville listener, "Thank you for being on the air." From Katie's, "Thank you for blessing our world with the way, the truth, and the light of our King Jesus." And from Woodlawn, "My radio stays on Missionary Radio."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
So while we were having our conversation, we've been talking about how do I find the right church, mm-hmm. you know, as a believer now. And we've started like two Mondays back talking about the church as revelation, the church is the opportunity for salvation. But once saved, then how do I choose the right church for my family, for myself, and so on? And we're using Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Joel, go ahead and remind us of that verse again, please, brother.
"Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will."
So the scripture is saying that the purpose of the church, the purpose of the Christian life, is to be transformed. We call it regeneration. It's where the Holy Spirit begins to change who I am and how I operate to become more and more like Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit's work in my life. Now, we're going to separate this from what we talk about next Monday, which is sanctification. That's my work in my life. But when he says be transformed, his statement is that I want you to be transformed by giving yourself over, okay? He says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, by God's mercy, offer your bodies a living sacrifice." I'm just going to hand myself over to God and let God do what God does. And that's going to change who I am.
I think in light of our discussion earlier, it's don't resist what the Holy Spirit is doing within you.
That's exactly right.
He's making you more and more like Jesus, and cooperate with him,
mm-hmm.
and don't
mm-hmm.
fight him.
Mm-hmm. So Pastor Will Grossgoff has texted in and said, to be conformed is to be like everyone else, and to be transformed is to be like no one else. And I think that's very accurate.
Mm-hmm. I've heard people quote the Phillips paraphrase that says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold.
That's right.
Into its mindset.
Exactly.
But instead, allow God to shape your mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the Spirit's work. So we were having the discussion before the break of how does that happen? And so there's two different methods by which churches kind of approach it, okay? And one is by the understanding of the Scripture and the Word of God, allowing that Word to begin to change and move who we are. And the other is through that Word, with the Spirit empowering us to do different things. Now, the one thing that is not stated in Scripture, because it's literally antithetical to the New Testament, is to be transformed means that you need to now, well, be conformed to a new set of rules. Mm-hmm. So in other words, and this used to be the way in Baptist life, and it's still the way in some denominations. If you're going to be a believer, yeah, then you have to not do these things, and you have to do these things. And if you don't do those and do these, then you're a good Christian. Mm-hmm. That's ritualism, tradition. That's the practice of religion. That's not transformation, and it's not transformational. Mm-hmm. It's not regeneration, and it's not regenerative. You need the Spirit to actually be changing in your life. It has to be a heart thing, because if it's just an outside practice thing, then you're not really in it. If I was to push this back, I would talk about the concept of the old moral majority back in the 1900s, ought 82, you know, way back when. The idea was, hey, there are a lot of people that believe like us, and we can legislate laws that make people do what we do. And what they found is they couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
They could legislate, and they can make the laws, and people would do what they had to do to be obedient to the law when they had to be obedient to the law, but they still did what they wanted to do.
Yeah,
we didn't become more moral. We just became legalistic. And so if you look at all of the New Testament synoptic gospels with the Pharisees, and you look at John, especially John, with the Pharisees and Sadducees, that's exactly what they talk about. So you're going to be transformed? Absolutely. Well, then you're going to follow all of our laws, rules, and regulations. And so you won't dress the same way, you won't talk the same way, you won't do the same things. Why? Well, because we told you, you know? Because we told you.
Yeah.
The concept of, and this is why I was talking about, you know, the concept of Pentecostal belief.
Sure.
Is we're wanting people to act differently, speak differently, be different.
Sure.
But it has to be Spirit empowered.
Sure does.
Both in a Baptist church, where we're often joked about being the frozen chosen, okay? Don't move, we don't twitch, right? I was in a New England Baptist church, a Boston Southern Baptist church. Now, you talk about an anomaly. Yeah. That was an anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
And I can still remember this beautiful lady coming in, and she came in from the South, and we were sitting in church, and the preacher started preaching, and the woman started amening the preacher.
Oh, that was bad.
Oh, man.
That was bad.
It was quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And this little boy, he's about 11 years old. He's like halfway down the pew from where I was sitting. Every time she'd say amen, he'd whip his head around.
Who said that?
And he'd look at her. And then finally, he looked at his mama and said, "She's talking." And he said it out loud. Everybody can hear it, right? "She's talking." And his mama said, "Stop it." "But she's talking." And "Stop it. But you hit me when I say that." I get in trouble. Why isn't she in trouble? But that's the whole point, is that Baptists have been known oftentimes as being so reserved that the Spirit doesn't have time to move, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're so solid, he can't mold us. And then Pentecostals, the joke is that they're too, you know, emotive, right? Too excitable, right? And so somewhere in between these, I'm going to say, stereotypes and cartoonish figures,
mm-hmm.
is reality.
Yeah.
And that is that the Spirit is given the freedom to do what it needs to do in each individual's life. And every church, and this is important for the listeners to hear, for all believers to understand, each local body has a personality and a DNA.
Absolutely.
And so when you go and you're a part of that, you need to know whether or not you feel like you're being regenerated by the Spirit, whether God is teaching you anew as you go and engage in these things. And if you don't have the freedom to grow, then that's not the place for you. But also, if you are in a place where you're growing spiritually, now this is going to kind of mess with some folks' mind, then I don't care how you feel about some of the personalities in the church. I don't care how you feel about the singing or the preaching. Mm-hmm. If the Spirit's moving in what is going on and He's changing you, mm-hmm. that's where you need to be.
Absolutely.
And if your kids are bored, don't care. Your kids don't set the tone for where the church goes. Mm-hmm. If your youth don't want to be there because their girlfriend or boyfriend went to some other youth group, you don't change churches, because your goal is to be regenerative, not a matchmaker.
That's right.
And so we need to understand where the priorities are. And the priority is to have the Spirit have the freedom to walk us and move us where He wants us to be. And that's not always toned by the emotions or the mm-hmm. personalities or the entertainment or the lighting or the AC or whether it has pews or versus chairs. All that stuff's aside. What you need to know is whether or not you're seeing real change in the Spirit in your life. And so we're going to take a moment and listen to Johnny Erickson Tata, and she's going to share. But when we get back, we're going to talk about the difference of being in the right church makes in a Christian's walk.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata Sharing Hope with a few thoughts from Johnny.
When we humble ourselves before Him, God always, always gives more than we could possibly ask or imagine. Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata, and that's so true. We always underestimate the generosity, the favor, the mercy of God. And there's a good biblical illustration of it. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem, and now here I'll pick up the quote, quote, "As He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' And when He saw them, He said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed." Now, this passage is an astounding example of how, when we come to God in humble obedience, He mercifully gives us more than we could ask or imagine. Because let's look at it one more time. Jesus is approaching a village, okay, and He meets 10 men afflicted with leprosy. Following what the protocol of the day, these hopeless and diseased men stand at a distance and they call out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So when Jesus saw them, He said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Now, it was actually a very small request that Jesus gave them, "Go show yourself to a priest," right? Yet even though it was an innocuous request, these 10 men nevertheless went. And as they did, they were completely healed. Now here's the thing, here's the lesson. Those 10 diseased men covered with leprosy, they never asked for healing. All they asked for was pity. They just wanted mercy. Perhaps they were expecting a handout of some money or maybe a little food. But their cry was basically, "Please help us. We humble ourselves before You, and we're asking for a little pity. Please have mercy on us." That's what they did. That's what they said. They really didn't ask to be healed. But when those men humbled themselves and obeyed the Lord's small, simple instruction, Jesus took note. He was delighted in them, simply because they asked for mercy with a humble spirit. Mercy and nothing more. So when Jesus saw them obeying His, what, innocuous command to go show themselves to a priest, the Lord gave them much, much, much more than they ever requested. He gave them much more than they could possibly ask for. They wanted just a little money, But God gave them something money could not buy. Jesus gave them healing and hope and freedom and release. And here's the lesson for you and me. When God tells you to do something small, or even something that seems unimportant, just do it. Just humble yourself and obey the Lord in that small, innocuous thing. Because in your act of obedience, God may very well surprise you, giving you much more than you would have ever dared ask of Him. He may well give you more than you could hope for or imagine. So today, friend, if God is asking you to obey Him in a small task, do not overlook it. Do not procrastinate. Don't think it's beneath you. Yield and submit to the Lord, because He just may be waiting to see if you will pay attention to the whispers, the gentle nudgings of His Holy Spirit, for as you do, He'll surprise you. He'll delight to pour out His mercy upon you, and like those 10 lepers who were healed, He'll give you more than you could ask for or imagine. It's a good lesson from Luke chapter 17. For God always delights in giving us things that money can never buy. Healing and hope, freedom and release.
So we're talking about how do I find the right church? And over the last couple of Mondays, we've talked about two different things. One is the church is supposed to be the revelation of God to this world. And secondly, the church is supposed to be providing the salvation of God to this world. And once an individual has seen the revelation and accepted the salvation, that means you're now a believer and you're wanting to be a part of a church. Now, I know there are some folks who say, I'm a believer, but I don't need to go to church. You are biblically wrong.
Yeah.
Just, I'm sorry, but that's the truth. You're scripturally, biblically wrong. The church was built by God, mm-hmm. not by men, but by God. A lot of people think, well, it's a religious institution. No, no. It began to be shaped into that by the willfulness and pride of men, mm-hmm. but it was established by God. The word church, ecclesia, means called out ones. If you're a believer, you've been called out. And the church, from the very beginning, met together on a regular basis. That's a part of the process. Now, did they have offering envelopes? No. Did they have offering plates? No. Did they go through, I don't know, RAs and sunshine clubs and whatever else? No, they didn't have all that stuff. I grant you, that's not truth. Mm-hmm. But they did gather. There's the key. They gathered to encourage one another in their growth in God. That's the point. So, Joe, give us one more time, would you, brother? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
The goal of the church is just to give the Spirit the freedom. The Spirit has the power, but it's to help you give the Spirit the freedom to change your life, to transform you. And so why do you have preachers? So the Spirit can move within your life. Why do you have small groups? Because we want the Spirit to move within the lives of individuals in community. Why do we have anything within the church? Music, worship, mission projects, all that stuff. The goal is always to allow the Spirit to move through us and to transform our lives. Now, in that process, we're the revelation of God. In that process, we're offering the salvation of God. But in that process, the church itself, every member, every individual within the body is supposed to be changing. And here's my point. If you're not changing, if you're not growing, you're not in the right church. Mm-hmm. You need to grow as a believer. You need to have the Spirit moving within you and changing you as a believer. A lot of folks say, well, you know, my family's gone to that church for three generations. God bless you. That's not how we select churches. They are not handed down from father to son. Churches are selected by the call of God to do the work of God within your life and within others. So if you're in a church and you're not growing, you're in the wrong place. I had a good friend. He was a member of the community. Now he's a member of our church. And he was going to a good church. I know the church. I know the pastor of the church. I think the world of the pastor, and I think he's a phenomenal preacher. But my brother started coming to our church, and the statement that he made was, when I come, I grow and I learn something new. I was going to this other church, and I was walking out the same way I came in.
Yeah.
He said, I don't see that being the purpose of the church. And I said, I agree. And I can assure you it wasn't because the preacher wasn't preaching the word, and it wasn't because my brother wasn't open to listening to it. He just wasn't in the right place for the Spirit to have his full freedom within his life. It is something that you have to work at.
Sure.
It's something you have to desire. And so you need to look for that place where you can grow. Now, I know grandparents who go to church because they want to go with the grandchildren, right? I know, I'm going to say wives who go to a husband's church because that's where his family's always gone and I want to be with my husband. There's a multitude of motivations that gets you to a place. But understand, all those motivations pale in comparison to the command that you're supposed to be being transformed. Yeah. So as you're thinking about your church and you're trying to decide, am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? Here's what I want you to think about. And I use this with the guys that became believers in this last week at our revival that came to know Christ. When you're thinking about church, I want you to think of church as a toolbox, okay? You've already had the revelation of God. You've accepted the salvation of God. So what's the thing that's left? Well, the Spirit wants to change you. And so you need to have certain tools to be able to make some adjustments, okay? If you're going to hot rod a car, you get certain tools, okay?
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to hot rod a boat, it may be a different set of tools. If you're going to do any particular job, there's a set of tools that you need to do that. So when you go to your church, what I want you to think about is you're going to the toolbox. It's like me when I go to Harbor Freight or Lowe's. I just salivate and walk the aisles. Oh, it would be nice.
Oh, it'd be nice to have that tool.
Oh, it'd be good. I know what I could do with that. I know I know how that would work. I know what difference that would make. I see all of those things, and I get excited when I go to the toolbox, okay? Well, that's the church.
Yeah.
The church should be that toolbox for you. Man, I can't wait to hear what the preacher has to say today because God's got a message that's going to change me and it's going to inform me. And it's going to shape me in a new direction. Oh, I can't wait to go to Sunday school with Joe Barner today because he's going to bring a lesson. It's going to shape me. It's going to change me. It's going to teach me. When we understand the church is the toolbox and we're using those tools to transform our lives, we're not going because, well, you know, so-and-so is just so funny. I love those illustrations. That has nothing to do with it, you know? Oh, I laughed till I was sick. I'm still the same person I was, but it was funny.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I remember hearing a guy from the convention, our Southern Baptist convention, talking about the number one thing that a parent asks a child when they leave church. And he says the number one question is not, what did you learn? The number one question is, well, did you have fun?
Did you have fun? Mm.
That's what parents ask.
Wow.
Well, did you have fun today at church? And the child says yes, or the child says no. And the parent says, oh, I don't know if this is the right church. You know? I don't know if my child was having enough fun. This is not a Chick-fil-A playground.
Yeah.
This is the church of God. Your child is there to have a revelation of God presented to them. Your child is there to have the salvation of God presented
That's
to
right.
them.
Right.
And your child, if a believer, is there to grow in that belief and become somebody different.
Yeah.
And so if your child isn't having fun, well, you need to know why that is.
Mm.
You know, if they're not able to get any tools from the toolbox, what's the holdup? Why is that occurring? But I've met it too many times. And listen, I'm a pastor. My kids didn't have a choice. We always said they had a choice. You don't have to go to church. You get to go to church. But quite literally, today, I was looking in Wesley's room, my youngest son's room, and up on the wall is, one, the RA motto and pledge. It's the Royal Ambassador motto and pledge. It's still on his wall. The boy is in college. He's in his 20s.
Yeah.
But still on his wall is the RA motto and pledge. Mm-hmm. When did he learn that? Well, when he was a kid in church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did he always enjoy going to RAs? No. There were days that he wanted to be out playing with his buds on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. We do church, brother.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to go. Mm-hmm. How good is that?
That's what we tell our youngest one on Saturday night when she says, I would really like to spend the night with one of my friends. Nope, not Saturday night because tomorrow's church.
They can spend it with you.
That's
and
right.
They can come with us to
That's
church.
Right. That's right.
And therein lies the key is that, you know, quite literally, he has a quote from Chuck Poe, the youth minister that was at the church at the time when he was there. And it's hanging on the wall. I haven't seen it. I didn't realize it was up there. I'm going to send it off to Chuck. But the impression that's made on these kids and on these youth, listen, he didn't always have the best relationships with the other kids that were around him. It wasn't always the easiest place for him to be. But he got to go. And you know what he did? He learned about Christ, revelation. He got saved, salvation. And he started growing in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you know what he does when he comes home now? He sits on the front row of the church. And brother, he's all in.
Yeah.
He's involved in every ministry, every activity. And you want to know why? Because he got enough tools that the Holy Spirit began to transform who he was. And he now is a young man that's on fire for God.
Amen.
I have been so blessed watching my oldest, my middle, and my youngest, each one talk with me as they say, well, I'm looking at this church, but this is my concern. None of them say, well, I just don't like the personalities, or, well, I just don't like the music.
Yeah.
What they say is, I'm not hearing the scripture clearly.
Gotcha.
I need to hear it better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting what I need to grow as a believer. I need more in this area or that area of my scriptural development. Okay. Those are good questions.
Mm-hmm.
And those are kids that are on solid footing.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're thinking about what's the church for me, you need to think about the fact that the church has to be the revelation of God. It needs to offer the salvation of God, and it needs to provide the transformation that only God can give. Give the Spirit room to move you and to bring you where you need to be, and then go every Sunday and grab another tool from the toolbox, because God's got work to be done.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.